take a little risk. Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this. Ha!
Welcome, everyone. Episode 68 of the Matt Jones Podcast. It is Monday, August the 12th. Right?
Yeah, sounds good.
August the 12th, I am sitting here in Louisville, Kentucky. We have not done one of these in quite some time, and I don't know when we'll do another one. I'm sure we will at some point, but I thought I would bring in my good friend Tony Vannetti, who I don't get to see nearly as much as I used to, and do a sort of catching up podcast to try to answer a lot of questions that I hear a lot. Tony, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you, my friend, back in Louisville. I love it. The building is abuzz when Matt Jones is here.
I don't think that's true.
It is true.
When I walk through this building now, I don't know anyone here.
There's
like, who are these people?
Yeah, there's some new people.
At the KSR Golf Scramble last Friday, they had all of these people wearing KSR shirts.
Right.
Who allegedly work here.
They work here.
And all of these people were wearing KSR shirts and allegedly representing KSR at the Scramble.
Yes.
And I didn't know any of these people.
Yes.
And these people were like telling me what to do in my own shirt.
Yes.
And I wanted to go, who are you?
Well,
where did you come from?
They must not know you because they would never presume to tell Matt Jones anything. Second of all, yes, they work here because no one's volunteering to work your golf scramble.
Oh, Matthew. I bet people would volunteer.
Okay, all right. I'm sure. It's like the PGA.
So, but we have like a new sales team, basically.
Yeah, we've
right?
got a lot of new salespeople in iHeart, but the building's been redone. Since you left, this building
it's
has
taken
been
off.
Completely...
Everything really improved.
Everything's improved.
The moment I got out of here, it was like all of a sudden.
Well, we can fix it up now. He's gone.
Yeah, the guy's going to stop breaking everything. No, it seems like things are going well.
I got a question first. Now, stop. We're going to get to the meat of all this and have it. But I have one question for you because we haven't done this podcast in a while.
Yeah, we haven't. That's right.
Are you smitten?
Oh, yeah.
No, is I mean, it more than smitten?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about my girlfriend.
Yes.
I assume. Yeah, I love her. I mean, we've been together now. I mean, we've dated over 2 years, and we have been really serious for a year and a half, probably.
But I say this because I've seen video of you, and you are with her. What you're like with her is unlike you or with anyone else.
True.
Oh, really?
In what
okay.
respect?
Okay, the being nerdy and goofy around her.
You don't think I'm nerdy?
Oh, you've been so serious for so long.
If there's one thing people say, man, that Matt Jones is a cool dude.
No,
I mean, you don't believe.
You
I've
have
been nerdy
tried to
life.
Been cool guy, all right? We all say, well, he's trying to be cool.
No, but I mean, I've always been nerdy. The only thing that's different is she's made it to where I can be around a cat. Like, I used to not like animals.
So strange.
And she has a cat, and the cat is named Mayberry. And so I now, the cat can, like, the cat, like, lays on me and stuff, and yeah. I don't freak out. That's probably the biggest change.
This is something I've been pushing you towards.
For many years.
For years.
She has, here's what I can say definitively. She has made me a much better person.
I totally agree.
And I don't mean that. Like, I think I was always kind, and I think I was always, like, caring. Like,
You don't have to preface that with anything. You don't have to – look, well, we all get better when we find the one, right?
I'm just saying she has made it to where the things that used to, like, ruin my day mm-hmm. and thus
yes.
ruin the days of those around
right,
me.
Right, sure, yeah.
Don't bother me as much. So, like, she has made me just a better person to
well,
be around.
Well, that's what happens. It's part of the process.
Is it?
Even though we
maybe
don't.
Maybe someone should have told me before
think,
the age
I
of
was,
40.
Damn it. I mean, I don't have. Sorry, I'm cursing on your podcast, darn it. But, you know, we all think we're fine. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, no.
But, you know, I compare this to Howard Stern. Because Howard Stern. You know, he was married, and I don't know if that was a good marriage or not. It doesn't matter. But then he was divorced, and through that whole period, he was Howard Stern, blah, blah. Then he met the woman he
yes.
married now. I think her name's Beth.
Yes.
And he became different.
Yes.
And it hurt his radio persona, I think. Like, I still think he's really good.
Yes.
But, like, he's not the – he doesn't have the edge.
Okay.
And I don't want to lose the edge.
No,
I don't
no,
think
no.
I have, but I hope I don't.
Look, you want your listeners to mature along with you. All
that's
right?
true.
If you want to continue to talk to that younger kind of
no, I mean our audience
not younger, but
our audience is aged a little bit. Well, first of all, I think we get the most diverse age audience in radio.
I would agree with that.
Yes. I mean, like yesterday at that Tyler Childers concert, the amount of like high school and college kids coming up and asking me for pictures was kind of crazy, because I don't really see us as marketing to them anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But yet they still come along, and that's good.
Yes, yeah, because they can get it on their phones.
What's crazy now are the people that are in college that tell me they, like, grew up listening to me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the stuff that blows my mind. Like, I met these two, this couple, this, like, two 19-year-old boy and a girl, who were, like, both said they listened to me, like, from middle school.
Oh, yeah.
That's the stuff that's weird to
me. Oh, yeah, it's wonderful when you get salespeople come in here and they look middle-aged and they say, my parents have been listening to you for years.
Yeah.
It feels great.
Yeah. And then my dad is a huge fan.
Oh, my dad, my mom, huge fan. My mom says she used to party with you at Phoenix Hill
Tavern. Well, that's what you
get. The 1990s, and I'll go, okay.
You get a different version. Right. But, yeah, no, that part of my life, I think, definitely has changed.
Congratulations on finding that. That was, I know that you were sort of,
yeah.
You were never really looking, but I'm just happy for you.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And she lives in New York, and she's very successful. And like,
just first time you've been in love?
I mean, I wouldn't say that. Like, I think this is different than the others, but I'm not going to say, I mean, I think I thought I was in love at other times, but this is different. Like, you can just, you know when it's different.
You can say things to her that you haven't said to other people or not?
Yeah, probably. Like, it's just, it's good to have someone in life that you can be your complete self with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that's always been the case. But
When you're driving, you talk about situations. Does she give you advice? Does she say, I wouldn't do that? Or
oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
She's very big on, so like, she's really big on don't send that tweet. So for instance, we can talk about this in a minute, but when I got pulled off the TV show a few weeks ago, I was not happy about that situation for a variety of reasons. Yeah. And the person that I deemed responsible, I had lots of things I wanted to say, and she basically vetoed all of them. But that was good.
Yes.
Because like, you know, that was the right thing to do. But 3 years ago, I probably tweet some stuff that then the next day I go, I'm not sure if I should have done that. So she has helped in that regard.
Here's where your wife or your girlfriend, here's the value also. They have intuition, something that sometimes men fail to have. I will tell a very short story where we went to a party. We met a new person that worked here. And she was all smiles at the party. Everything was fine. We got in the car to drive home. The second she shut the door, my wife looked at me and said, never trust him. And I said, where is that coming from? He's fantastic. Or she's fantastic. And
well, I think we know it. We now know Nick Roush.
And she's like, listen to me. Never trust him. And I said, whatever. You're crazy. You're crazy. That person ended up not being trustworthy. So,
really? You
know, women, I'm telling you, when you take your wife to business, they're in tune more than us because we're lost in the moment.
Yeah, and it's also, it's nice to have, the only other person really that was like this was my mom, a person who gets angrier at the people that slight me even more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're probably like this with your kids. Like, if somebody does your kid wrong, like, you're even, you're furious,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
It is nice to have someone
who loses their mind. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like who, go back to the situation I was talking about.
Yes.
You think I was mad.
Yes.
You should have seen her.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? Like that. Yes. Like that's a possible. Most people listen to this are like, yes, Matt, these are revelations we knew when we were 23.
Right.
But like, you know what? I am 40 and it's just happening. So just deal with it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, here's why I wanted to do this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, you know, over the last 2 years, I've talked about this possibility of running for Senate against Mitch McConnell, and it's been a balancing act for me in how do you discuss it. Do you talk about it? On the radio, it's been really important to me to keep KSR as close as it can be to normal,
mm-hmm.
and that includes talking. We've always talked about our lives,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't want this to dominate it, because while there have been great stories and things that one day I'll be able to talk about, anytime you bring up politics, it then becomes just people calling in and giving their political opinion, which no one cares about.
Sure.
No one wants to hear your political opinion.
Right.
Mine included, right? So while I want to talk about the process, you can't really, because it just leads to bad radio.
I'm with you.
And then I also don't want to abuse the trust. And what I mean by that is I do not want people to see KSR as me saying, this is the platform upon which I'm going to become, you know, your supreme ruler.
Very smart.
Right? Like, it's, this is not, that's not why I did it.
Yes.
And it's not, so I've been very careful to try to, we touch on it, but then move
Separate
away.
Separate the two.
But there are people who, and especially in the last few weeks, have questions for me and who have said to me, who want to know more about this because I've been in their lives for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you thinking about this? Like, why would you? And I feel like this podcast, which is not, of course, mandatory listening. You don't have to listen to this. So don't write me and complain about it. If you don't want to listen to it,
turn
this
it off,
off right now and go watch Everybody Loves Raymond if you want to. Like, but I thought this would be a way for me to address all those things. And the easiest way to do it is, of all of the people that I've done media with, you and I are the most attuned. And what I mean by that is, like, Ryan and Drew are my very good friends, and I love them. But you and I have the most similar interests.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, like, I like Ryan and Drew, I love when people say to Ryan, Drew, and Shannon, like, you liberals. They don't care. Like, they don't.
Right.
The only reason they even act as if politics exists is to appease me. Mm-hmm. Like, they do not care. So like, if it wasn't for me saying, hey, there's a debate, watch it, they wouldn't even know.
Look, what was make that. The old man happy and say you watched it.
Exactly. But so you and I are the sort of most attuned. So I thought the way to do this was to just let you ask me and us have a conversation about this, because you have been very interested. You've been encouraging me for 2 years on this.
Right.
And so that's why I thought we would. So I will turn this over to you.
Okay. You know, you, as long as I've known you, you have been steely-eyed about all your decisions. From a lawyer to a website guy, which is a huge decision, you were steely-eyed about that. I don't think you hem and hawed about that. You kind of went after it. When you went from radio show host, or you made the jump from website to radio show host, you were on it. Radio show to TV, and that was gonna might cost you.
Everybody thought that, including you. Like, everyone thought that was a bad decision.
I know. I said, be careful. I was like, it might.
You were
cost
the one
you.
Person who didn't think it was awful, but almost everyone was like, "This is a terrible decision you're making."
I knew that the show would be wildly popular. I absolutely knew that. I just didn't want it to cost you other things in your life. Like, is this worth it? Because you're rolling here. You own the state. What are you doing? So that's the only thing. Plus, I was caught in the middle of everything else.
Yeah, I was trying to get you on the show, and then that
I was,
caught
in the middle.
Exactly.
But you have been committed to your decisions, and some I've said no. Even the restaurant, I've said, be careful. You've been committed.
That
this
worked,
one,
by the way.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't say don't open it. I said get rid of it after 2 years. So you've got one more year before
you
I'm
did say to get rid of it.
I said
if
2 years.
If I get rid of it in 2 years, blame him.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
But you have been steely-eyed about your decisions, and this one is the first one where you're like, time out. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Yeah. How does that feel?
I mean, the last 3 or 4 weeks have been the most, and I'm not just saying this. This is not an exaggeration. They've been the most stressful weeks probably of my life, outside of, you know, maybe a couple when family members have been sick or something. So 2 years ago, so 4 years ago when I thought about running for Congress, that was almost a lark. It was a goof. The National Democratic Party called me up, said, you want to run for Congress? And I was like, well, that sounds like fun. Yippee-doo. And I went to Washington. I went through this whole camp. And then I realized I really wasn't what I wanted to do. I didn't want to be a member of the House. And I didn't do it. But it was always sort of easy because it was like just something fun, right? 2 years ago when I started thinking about the Senate race, I was very serious about it, but I was always like gathering information, and my thought was, in 2019, I will figure it out. And then all of a sudden, Amy McGrath becomes this phenomenon in 2018.
Right.
She loses in the general election, and I never considered the fact that she might run for Senate because her campaign manager looked at me and said, she'll never run for Senate.
Right.
And so I just assumed that was the case.
Yes.
I then realized that you can't believe what anybody says.
No.
So, then when I heard she was, all of a sudden, it almost took a burden off of me because I was like, well, look, if she runs, she will raise all of this money.
Right.
Then the National Democratic Party picked her.
Yes.
And we can talk about this some other day. This probably isn't the podcast, but we should at some point talk about. I have learned why the national political system is so screwed up.
Right.
Because the political parties, it's a disaster.
Right.
Nevertheless, they select
inept
her.
At times.
Inept, but also it's not what it's supposed to be about.
Yes.
Like, it should be about the citizens picking who they like.
Yes.
Instead, what happens is Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer pick who they like, and yes. there becomes the senator.
There's some sort of formula that she can fall into,
and
or he
so
can
they
fall
pick
into.
Her.
Yes.
And when they pick her, what happens is then she announces, and all the Democratic presidential candidates, or most of them, endorse her. All of the congressional people endorse her. All of the big donors endorse her. And all of a sudden, she has $5.5 million.
Right.
And the theory is, well, that scares everybody else out.
Right.
And now we have our nominee.
That's a lot of money.
And that's how it works. And by the way, that's how it works in nearly every state.
Right.
And so the only way you can challenge that, really, is to be a multimillionaire. So if you go look around the country, the only people that challenge the picks of the party are millionaires and billionaires because they self-fund. Well, I'm not a millionaire and billionaire.
So you're out.
That's what I thought.
Right.
I thought.
At the time, so you said,
I
great.
So
decisions
I didn't announce it.
Me.
I didn't announce it, but I thought I'm going to have the peace of mind. There's a Tyler Childers song called Peace of Mind that I really like that just came out. And there's a peace of mind of, well, it wasn't my choice. They did it. And even though this system is screwed up, what are you going to do?
Right.
I can't fight. I'm not. I can't fight the windmill like Don Quixote.
Yes, but the decision's been made for you.
It's
great.
Been made for me. Then she launches, and to put it generously, she blows it. And listen, I like her. This is not a knock on her. But she has become so robotic and has become so consulted that I don't even know what she stands for anymore.
Right.
And I think that's what a lot of people felt. And all of a sudden.
What was your initial reaction when that first day?
So she.
A lot came out, and everyone, including my wife and I, as we laid in bed watching the morning news, and both our jaws kind of dropped.
All right. So I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I can do this because this is our podcast, and this will probably make a news story, and I wish it didn't, but I'm being honest. I talked to her in March. And I said, look, I know you're thinking about this, and I'm thinking about this. I'm sure it's stressful for you. It's stressful for me. Will you and I, let's make a promise with each other. When either of us knows what we're going to do, even if we won't say it publicly, will you tell each other so that it doesn't stress out our lives?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she said yes. And she said, I will tell you. And I said, I promise I won't say anything. That way I can know so I don't have to spend my life like
– right.
She texted me an hour before.
Right.
She texted me at 4:45 in the morning, the day before.
Right.
The day of.
Right.
That really bummed me out.
Right.
I mean, like, she promised me.
Yeah.
And then she texted me an hour before. So the first thing was I was really disappointed because I'd been hearing all these people saying, she's going to do it, she's going to do it, she's going to do it. And I was always like, yeah, I don't believe she's made up her mind because she told me. She promised me that she would tell me. And then at 4:45, when that text message comes, you go, well, all right, there it is. So when she launched, I saw the interview, and I was like, well, that didn't go very well. But you know what? I mean, listen, I've done live television. It's hard.
Right.
I'm not going to totally put that on her. And then other stuff kind of screws up. And then she says that she's was against Kavanaugh or for Kavanaugh, and then she's against Kavanaugh.
Right.
And it's not even clear. Like, and I'm like, oh, well, this isn't going well. But what really changed is then all of a sudden this entire community of people, and I'm not talking about the National Democratic Party, they're still for her, but this entire community of people who are desperate for something, all of a sudden we're like, you know what? Maybe Matt's the guy.
Yeah, yes, because they don't think she can win.
I think that's fair. And so that changed. And all of a sudden the pressure built, and I went from thinking there's no path to this being successful to all of a sudden a path opening up. A path opening up. And like, one of the hard things for me was, how was I going to run and be part of like following the National Democratic Party, who I think screws up a lot of stuff anyway? And all of a sudden, here was a path where I could tell both parties to go, you know what? Like, not only could you take down the Republican Party, you could take down the Democratic Party too.
Okay.
And like, that's exciting in some way.
Okay. And to my point is, Do you think they don't choose? They didn't choose you or didn't talk to you more because you're not going to do everything they tell you to do?
Yes. Here's why they. Here's why they're for Amy. They're for Amy McGrath. They don't believe a Democrat can win here. The National Democrat Party does not believe a Democrat. They can say they do. Mm-hmm. I know they don't. Mm-hmm. They don't think they can win. Here's what they want, though. They know Mitch McConnell's unpopular, and they want to make him busy.
Right.
Okay? They want all that money that Mitch McConnell raises, they want him to have to spend it.
Right.
They don't want him to go spend it in other states.
Yes.
Where they think they have a better chance.
Yes.
So with Amy McGrath, they knew that because she ran last time and she had such a great video, and she's a hero. She is an American hero for her service, and I have no problem saying that.
Sure.
They knew that with that story, she would raise a ton of money and keep Mitch busy. And so when Mitch in 2020 would have to worry about himself and not these other states. With me, I think they're like, I don't know about that guy.
Yeah.
Like, there
you're
were
a wild card.
Exactly. There were people saying, look, he's got a better chance of winning. And they were like, yeah, maybe, but we still don't really think he would win. And then who the heck knows about him?
He might be a problem
Like, he
child.
Might just go around.
Yes.
Again, because, you know, you look at me on paper, sports radio host. You might be like, why would you want him? So I get it. But my thing was, sit down with me. Talk to me. Look at my background. Talk to me about issues. You know, I think the theory nationally was, he's a sports radio host. He must be an idiot. He must be stupid.
Right.
And they didn't talk to me. And they wouldn't. They made up their mind, and that was that.
I think that there are probably pretty smart people in D.C. I'm going to go in the direction as your friend that I think that they can't control you as much as they can control someone else, and I'm not going to – I assume they think they can do that with her. I know that they know they can't control you.
Yeah,
if they tell you, Matt, here's what we're going to do, I've seen this face on you a million times. Nope, that's not what I'm doing.
Let me ask you a question. You know me as well as anybody. There are people who say to me, Matt, well, if you run, like, you're just going to get your orders from Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi or Hillary Clinton or whatever crazy thing they want to say. You know me.
Not a chance in hell.
Do you think anybody can tell me?
No, not a chance in hell. No one. There's one person.
Who's that?
Your mom. And we'll talk to your mom.
My mom can – she can mold me. And now Rachel. The two of them,
and they should.
The two of them can mold me as well as anybody. And I take advice. Like, I'll take advice from you,
right?
And I'll take advice from friends of mine. But the idea that you need to do this, here's the thing that's never worked for me.
Right.
Do this because we tell you to.
Yeah,
do
no,
it.
That never
that just doesn't work. Like, I'm just like, you know what? Shut up. Now, if you explain to me rationally why it's the best decision, I might agree with you.
Yes.
But if you say, Matt, I'm in charge, do this, I'm like, you know what? I'm not doing that.
My favorite story with that is the CEO, vice president of iHeart, coming in town and you calling him the wrong name for 3 days. And then at some point in the conversation, they stopped and said, my name's not Steve or whatever you were calling him. And you go, Steve, Brad, whatever. And then went on with your conversation. And I'm like, only Matt can talk to the vice president. President of iHeartRadio that way, but you know what's right, and you know you have an instinct. I think you have an instinct of what will work, and for the most part, you've been right about that. And they and the system now seems set up that they just want people do what I tell. Put somebody in there that's going to do what we want them to do, and that's both sides, Republicans and Democrats.
This is not different. This really is a both sides thing. Kentucky is a red state. This is a Republican state. People call sometimes on the radio. So I had a guy call the other day and go, Matt, you realize if you win the primary, that doesn't make you a senator. You'll have to win the general. I was like, really? is that how this thing works? I had no idea. Like, I get it. This is a Republican state. Like, I get it. My parents are Republicans. Most of my friends are Republicans.
Yeah.
Like, I get it.
Me too.
75% of my listeners are Republicans.
Yeah, me too.
I get it, right? So the only reason to do this is because I think it's right. It's not to give a vote to Chuck Schumer. It's because I look at this state and I think this is the right thing to do, to fight for the people that are in it. And so, like, I get it that it's a long shot. I get it that it's very likely I would lose. I understand that. I'm not stupid. But there are some things that are worth fighting for. And so
What's the difference between you taking on the establishment the last 10 years and winning here? Like, you broke through media barriers that were never broken before, and you punched up, and you took on people that don't let people in or a seat at the table, and now I would argue you are the table, and that there are maybe one or two people at that table with you. You were punching up. You fought the establishment. What's different between this and that?
The Courier-Journal and the Herald-Leader and Tom Jurich and Rick Pitino were all competent, powerful people.
Yes, they are.
Mitch McConnell's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
And Mitch McConnell is probably the second most powerful person in America. He's probably one of the 20 most powerful people in the world. Mm-hmm. And he uses that power, in my opinion, for ill, certainly not to help the average Kentuckians. But put that to the side, he's also very smart. He's very competent. And so it's very easy to say, you know what, middle fingers up, I'm taking on the world. Mm-hmm. But, like, very few people actually have to fight Darth Vader. like many people can say, like, many people can come up with the analogy of, I'm going to fight Darth Vader. Yeah. I actually would have to fight Darth Vader. Like, he is Darth Vader. So that is a whole nother ball of wax.
He likes being Darth Vader.
Well, and I think, let me tell you something. I think that's actually sad. I actually find Mitch McConnell, as crazy as it seems, to be a sad figure.
How so?
I do my research. I've read every book written about him. There have been a few, and I've read them all. And one of them had a line in it that I thought was really sad when I read it. It said that Mitch McConnell, this was quoting from someone who likes him. Mm-hmm. They said, Mitch McConnell is the only politician that I've ever met that has no friends. And the point was, everyone respects him. Everyone sees how good he is. Mm-hmm. But no one really likes him. Well, that's really sad.
Yeah.
But I think the reason that's the case is because he is just a vehicle for political power. He is not a person that cares about the average person. People ask me sometimes, I see people call him a terrible human. I would never say that. First of all, I won't call anybody a terrible human, but I won't call almost anyone because we don't know these
people. I agree with that.
And so you criticize policy, not people. I do wonder, what's it like to be him behind closed doors? He may be thrilled at being called Moscow Mitch and Cocaine Mitch and all that. But at the end of the day, you're going to go meet St. Peter, and they're going to say, what did you do for others? And what's all that political power going to have really meant? So
if you sell, so what's his legacy then? When it's all
depends on if he loses this time.
I don't think his legacy changes whether he wins or loses.
I think
this
his
next
legacy
election.
Is going to be he was one of the most successful senators at accumulating and holding power in the history of the country, along with like Lyndon Johnson. Like, there's a handful of them. And he's also going to have the legacy of, with all of that power, he did almost nothing for his home state. And in the process, wasted it. And a chance that this state had that we may never get again, he blew it. So that rich people could get tax cuts. I actually think that's sad. I mean, look, on one level, we should be happy that we have a senator with this much. But what has it done for us?
Yeah.
Since he's been a senator, the two most powerful economic interests we've had in the state have been decimated, tobacco and coal. Mm-hmm. Now, tobacco and coal have their problems. But those two industries were they churned this state. And both of them are gone. And he was in power and he couldn't do anything to replace them. Instead, he intentionally tried to hurt industries that tried to replace them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a sad legacy.
What's it like to know that, and I'm not speaking of Mitch McConnell, but if you're interested in running against the second or third most powerful person on the planet or in the United States, there's going to be people that are interested about you. What's it like to know that you're probably being followed?
I don't know if I'm being followed, but I do think I'm certainly being investigated.
Well, I'm not saying that thinking that I'm not some conspiracy theorist here. If you're
if I run, they'll follow me.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, if I run, they'll follow
me. So you're at Qdoba or whatever. Yeah. You're with your girlfriend.
When I was at the concert last night at Railbird, I would look around and there were people just filming me. Now, I don't know if they were like fans trying to catch me singing Feathered Indians, or if they were like, which I was, or if they were like people trying to get me on tape doing something stupid. I don't know. I'm not worried about that because I know how I live my life and I'm fine with it. Like, I don't party. Like, there's nothing to see.
Well, you're not a big drinker.
I don't party. I'm not a big drinker. Yeah. I mean, I'm a girlfriend now. Like, I'm not worried about that. Are there things in my past of my life that, like, I wish I hadn't done? Sure. I mean, I'm sure that's true of everybody, right? Like, I'm sure that's how it is. And do I like the fact that friends of mine, you know, I'll give you an example. I had a friend of mine say, look, Matt, I want to show you something. And he shows me a sheet of paper, and it has 8 of my friends' names on it. Drew and Ryan and Shannon were 3 of them, and then 5 people that it's not worth saying who they are. But 8 of my friends' names on it, and it was from someone who had been hired by, I presume, McConnell. I don't know that for sure, but it was a political something, and this was before McGrath was in, so I'm going to assume it was McConnell. Right. And they were like, what dirt do you know on these 8 people? Now, that stinks.
Yeah.
Those 8 people didn't ask for this. 5 of those people, besides Drew, Ryan, and Shannon, live private lives. Like, they're just regular citizens.
Right.
And their only sin is being friends with me. So, I hate that. I hate the stress it would be on my girlfriend. I hate the stress it would be on my parents. I hate all of that. And I do hate the stress it would be on me. But at the same time, at some point, somebody has to look at that and say, enough's enough.
Enough.
Enough's enough. We're not going to let you do this forever. I had a sitting member of the Kentucky House of Representatives, a Republican, say to me, I can't come out publicly for you. Privately, I'm going to vote for you. Because if we could get McConnell out, we could finally start electing people around here that know what they're doing. Because right now, he picks all the winners. I'll give you an example. The guy running for attorney general, David Cameron. David, I think, is his first name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a nice kid. I've met him. Smart. Seems like a really good young man. Has no qualifications to be the attorney general. He's only been an attorney for a couple years.
Right.
Has no connection to the state. I mean, played at U of L, but like he's never even been a prosecutor.
Right.
Right? And he's going to go be the head prosecutor. You know why he's a Republican nominee? Because Mitch McConnell likes him. Will Schroeder ran against him in the primary, a sitting prosecutor for years, a good prosecutor, ran in the Republican primary and lost because they spent $1.5 million on Daniel Cameron because Mitch McConnell likes him. Objectively, no offense to Daniel Cameron. I said David, I think it's Daniel. Will Schroeder would be better. He's done the job. But they picked him because Mitch said so.
Yeah. Okay. With the internet and the way they can form opinions, when John McCain was running for president, you know, there's a story. When John McCain was in Vietnam, the one of the worst fires on an aircraft carrier he was involved in, he was in his jet on the top, and the entire boat was on fire. He gets out of his jet. He runs down the nose of his jet, and there's video of it, so there's proof. It's him. It's John McCain. He runs to the nose of his jet, and there is one space that doesn't have fire. He jumps. He has an amazing life. He jumps to the only spot that's not on fire and runs to safety and then fights the fire for hours trying to save everyone's life. If you Google that story or John McCain, 3 of the top 6 stories are untrue. They are accounts of John McCain started the fire.
Yeah, yeah.
John McCain, you know, it's his fault that 100-something sailors lost their. So
that'll happen.
Okay.
And I've been much less courageous than that.
That infuriates me too.
That's the world we live in now, and that's not going away. And again, at some point, you have to just decide. Are you going to be scared by that stuff or not? I mean, right now, if you go right now to Google and you Google Matt Jones, Kentucky, you know what the top thing is?
Oh, no.
An ad for Mitch McConnell. I'm not kidding you. They have clearly gone to Google and bought.
That is almost fantastic.
And they have bought. I'm not kidding. They have bought basically the top spots for my life. So.
I thought it would be some weird picture of you in a goofy outfit slamming a Slurpee in some contest.
Yeah, I mean, so like, that is what it is. But, you know, all I can say is at some point you have to say, like, here's my bet if I were to do it. That people say, you know what? All that stuff you say, I know it's not true. I've listened to him.
Yeah.
Like, if you've listened to my show, if you've listened to my show, you know who I am, warts and all. Yeah. Like, you know that, like, I get angry sometimes.
Yes.
And you know that I'm not patient. And you know, but you also know that, like, I have a big heart.
Yeah.
You know that I love this state.
Yeah.
Like, you know that there's probably some views I have that you're like, boy, you're a stinking liberal. Like, yes. I mean,
but you own your faults on the air.
You know, exactly. And so my point is, if I do this, what you see them do to me, imagine what they're doing to these other people that you didn't know before.
Mm-hmm.
They probably were good people too. Right?
Yeah.
And not just, again, the Democrats do the same thing to the Republicans. Don't get me wrong. But there's some – I've been blessed with an ability to have a name ID and a platform where maybe not, but maybe you can fight back on that in a way that other people don't have the ability to do. That's kind of intriguing.
You had a great story with me the other day about the day you found out that you were losing the TV show temporarily or permanently. Yeah. You don't know.
Yeah,
tell me that story again.
All right, so there's a man in Clay County who he's a really unique guy, and he's a blind man, he's a preacher, and he's just a unique fellow. And he, Binghamtown Baptist Church in Middlesboro is this church where people from all over the area come. And my parents met him at that church, and long story short, he came up to my parents like a year ago and said something to the effect of, the Lord has something in store for your son. And he's been talking to my mom, and a lot of the stuff he says had really affected her. And he started about 3 months ago fasting once a week. He would fast one day a week for me, that God give me the peace to make the right decision. Well, first of all, I never met this man. So just hearing that, I mean, think about how powerful that is. This man I've never met. So we were on the tour a few weeks ago, and we're in Middlesboro, my hometown. I'm doing the show. It's like I've got high school friends there. My teachers are there. They bring the Middlesboro High School academic team there. I was on the academic team. It was like we were one in the bond of dork, and it was wonderful. So we finish, and my mom had asked me to go, and he wanted to meet me. Mm-hmm. And we went to my house, and he prayed for me. And I can't do just –
You prayed with him.
Well, he prayed for me. He, like, you know, in the mountains, we call it kind of putting hands on people.
Okay.
So he, like, sort of held my hand and prayed for me. And I can't do justice. You would have had to have heard it to how powerful it was. But in the process,
Did
he was
you
also
cry?
Oh, yeah. I was bawling. Like, he was praying for me. He talked about – you know, how respectful he thought I was to the mountains. And it was, I mean, I don't want to share all of it because it was private, but it was very powerful. And he said some things in there, and I can't even say what they are. You'll find out in the next couple of weeks. But he said some things that no one knows that he knew. He said, like, Lord, I know this is going to happen. And I'm like, how does he know that? Because no one knows that.
Right.
So anyway.
That freaked you out a little bit.
It did. Well, it would not freak me out, but it was just powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was.
Yeah.
So I'm crying, and like he was saying to me basically, like, you know, you have the potential to do something really special. Then I go get in the car. 5 minutes later, I sit down, and the phone rings. It's my boss at WLEX saying, we're pulling you off the TV show.
Right.
So like those two things happen within 10 minutes of each other. And now I have to drive from Middlesboro to Pikeville by myself for 4 hours.
Right.
And I had a crew of television crew of people who all of a sudden were told, go back home. You don't have to follow him anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
So, like, I'm now by myself.
Right.
And so I make that drive, and, like, I spend a lot of the time, like,
is your phone blowing up?
Yeah. It's people trying to see if I'm okay.
Right.
And, like,
news is breaking.
Yeah. And I'm just set crying. I mean, I drive up through that road, goes up 119 through Harlan and up, like, so through some big mountains, cell service in and out.
Right.
So, like, you know.
Oh, that's driving you crazy.
Yeah. With cell service in and out. Well, actually, it gave me some peace because I didn't have to hear anything for a while. I get up to Whitesburg, and there is in Whitesburg, there's this mountain called Pine Mountain, and it's got the most beautiful view in the state. And I would say to you, people sometimes ask me, if you were going to go in the mountains and visit somewhere, I would say go there because it's like this lookout. It's unbelievable. And Terry, my phone turns on, and Terry texts me. Terry Myers says, you want to come on the radio? And I did. And but I just sat there looking at this mountain, and it was like all these emotions just hit me because, you know, Tony, I get 100 emails a day at least from strangers from all over the country, at times all over the world, begging me to run. Begging me. I also have people like Nick Roush sitting here who work for me, who, like, the thought of ending all this and it will have an effect on their lives. Like, that is difficult. And, like, all of that emotion just hit me at once. And, like, I ended up sitting on the side of the road, like, for an hour in Whitesburg.
By yourself.
Just by myself. And, like, people were coming by and, like, honking, Matt Jones! And, like, I'm like, hey, what's going on? but it was a lot. And, you know, the one difference between me and a lot of people, I'm sure other people deal with this stuff too, is I have a radio show and I talk about these things.
Yeah.
But it was a lot.
As a 50-year-old guy, that day is going to be with you forever.
Yeah, it will.
I don't think you're going. You just described a day like you would watch in a movie where it would change the character's mission statement, or he would either know which way that you were going to go. But that was not the case.
But see, I wish I did know.
Yeah.
Like, we're sitting, it's Monday afternoon. This will probably go up on Monday night. And I don't know what I'm going to do. There's a group of people nationally, there's a handful, like, people who've been sort of helping me go through the process. They've been great. They really want me to do it. I mean, like, every day they're like, are we in yet? Are we in yet? Are we in yet? And then there's, like, when I was in E-Town today, there's a group of listeners. Because we're on tour, every single day I'm talking to listeners, about half of which are like, don't go. Some of which say do it. But a lot of people say don't.
They don't want their lives.
They don't want to lose. Well,
they want KSR.
But you know what? I appreciate that. Like, it's like, think about that. A radio show would be so important to people that they would worry losing it. Like, that's really nice if you think about it. And just all that, it's just like, whew, you know.
You have chosen, if you choose to run,
yeah,
you have chosen three jobs that people love to hate. Lawyers, sports show host, and politicians.
I never thought of it like that.
I think your mother's like, oh, my Lord,
can't
Matt,
you just be like a preacher?
Can you own an ice cream shop?
Yes, people like those.
Can you please own an ice cream shop? Everyone will love you, Matt. Matt Jones, KSR ice cream shop. Your mom is one of the sharpest people I know. Much respect for her. She cringes, I think. She loves you so much, but she was there at your – she sat almost front row for your roast. And she knew that you had assembled a group of us that were going to take shots at you. Obviously, we were – you know, it was one of the best nights we had. It was hilarious. But she stood in there, and I looked at her and said, hey, Mom. And she said, I'm here.
I think she said, I'm tougher than you think I am.
Yes, she did. Yeah. That's what she said, and I gave her a hug. Where's Mom on all this?
Well, I mean, I think she wants me to do what I want, and she'll support whatever I do, but she's also nervous about it. I mean, look, everyone, I have no close friend of mine who's like, dude, it's a no-brainer. Go. I don't. I have a lot of sort of friends of mine that are people I know and I like, but that don't. Everyone close to me is like worried for me because they're worried. Two things. They're worried that, like, the McConnell people are going to, you know. Well, Scott Jennings, who I like, said in a public forum, I will destroy you. So the question people in Kentucky are going to have to decide, is that what you want politics to be? Do you want it to be that? I like Scott. he's a human being too. His stepmom passed away. He's at her funeral, I think, as we're taping this. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be devastating for him. And I reached out to him for that reason, even though he said he was going to destroy me. You got to ask yourself, is that what you want politics to be? Do you want it to be like that? Well, so my mom's worried about that. My friends are worried about that. I think they're also worried about, would I be able to handle it if I lost? Because they're like worried, like Ricky Jones wrote that article in the Courier-Journal. And his thesis was, Matt Jones loves Kentucky. What if it doesn't love him back? And there's a good chance that would be true. And it would bother me. But I think I could handle it. People are more worried about that than they should be. Like, listen, I get up every day. Every single day, I go to this text machine, and there are people telling me what a stinking liberal I am. Like, I can handle that. If I lose, it'll suck. But you know what? If I wasn't okay with that, then I can't do it.
Your mom, to me, is smarter and sharper than anyone sitting in the White House right now. Like anyone that works there, right? That any person, like I think that's true. Can she separate herself between father or mother and son and give you advice?
Yeah, she gives advice. I think she wants me to understand that it's going to be really hard to win.
Yeah.
Look, she's in Bell County, which probably voted 75% for Trump. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about this. I might run, and there's a really good chance I would lose my home county. I mean, there probably is. Like, I wouldn't want to. I'll tell you what. I would, like, work triple hard because I wouldn't want to lose my home county. But there's a chance I might. So, you know, like, she gets it because she – like, I still live in Lexington and Louisville. So, like, I think she thinks I'm city-fied. So, like, she's like, we're good. Don't worry about it. But – so – you know, she just wants to make sure I know, like, this will be hard. People are, you know, you realize people love Trump down here.
Oh, yeah.
And Trump's going to be on the ballot. That makes it hard.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Trump is going to get 60% of the vote in Kentucky. I don't care what any Democrat says. Everybody can talk. Like, I go to these liberal groups sometimes, and they go, Matt, the key is to get people who don't vote to go vote. And I agree with that. And I need to do that. But you know what? I don't care how many people show up. 60% of the people in this state are going to vote for Donald Trump. They just are. So the question is, can you get 10% of the people to vote Trump Jones?
Yeah.
That's your only chance. And I don't know. I can tell you this. Yeah. I don't think you can get people to vote Trump McGrath.
Real quick, popular vote versus electoral, where are you on that? Like, should they get rid of that system?
No. Like, I mean, I think you should still have electoral college. I think the bigger issue with the Electoral College is going to be what happens is the population shifts and the Electoral College is still from 10 years ago.
Right.
So, like, when the next census happens, a lot of these states are not going to have the same – you know, Republicans right now are for the Electoral College against popular vote.
Yes.
Wait 10 years. They're going to flip because Texas is going to go Democrat.
Right.
And when it does,
right,
there's going to be no way for the Republicans to win the Electoral College. So then all of a sudden, Republicans are going to be for the Electoral College, for the popular vote, and Democrats are going to be for the Electoral College.
There's good
arguments on either side.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say this. When I'm for the Electoral College, but I think it's close. When I hear people from Kentucky go, Matt, if it wasn't for the Electoral College, none of these presidential candidates would care about Kentucky. Here's a little secret. They don't care about Kentucky now.
That's my point. I can't remember the last time my vote actually counted.
Right now, the only people's votes that matter are Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan.
Ohio? No.
Not even Ohio anymore. Okay. The Democrats just assume that's
Florida.
Going Republican. They assume that's going Republican.
Right.
Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. They'll fight in Ohio and Florida.
Yes.
But really, it's Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. So unless you live in Pennsylvania, Michigan, or Wisconsin, your vote doesn't matter now.
Right.
So it's going to feel really good to go vote for Trump or if it's the Democrat Biden or whatever. But just know, those six electoral votes are going to be Republican.
Right.
No matter what. Your vote in the Senate race will matter much more than the presidential race.
Do we have a timeline for
decision? I'm going to know. I will know. There's a date in my mind where I'm going to know, and everybody will know either – right before or right after the first game of the football season. I'm not going into a whole season. Like, I'm going to know before that. when I choose to announce, it may depend on some other stuff. But it's not long. Because I also owe it to other people who are thinking about running. Like, if I'm not going to do it, there are other people who will. I mean, I know at least one person who's like, if you don't do it, I'm doing it. So
has money contacted you and said, we'll back you if you go?
There are – yes. I mean, there are people who yeah. I mean, look, the money part of this is the worst.
Yeah.
The whole money, that's a whole nother podcast. I've learned how the money side works. Can I tell you a quick story? I know you got stuff to do. But I met with some people who are sort of money folks just to – they wanted to talk. And at the end of the conversation, one of them said to me, Matt, they were kind of like – they were being polite, but they were kind of like, you know, if you win, I assume, like, we could call you. And, like, you would take our call.
Is that how they look? Do they move their hands
they
like
move
that?
They move their arms. Well, because they're trying not to say.
You can't see this, but he like, is your character acting.
Yeah, like, they're trying not to say, like, we own you, right? Yeah, like, yeah, they're trying not to say that. But, like. But that's, you know,
yes.
There's some part of that. So, I said, well, yeah, I mean, you can call, but, like. I'm going to talk to you as much as I would any other constituent. I was like.
Okay, but reading between the lines, what's that mean?
That means like, well, I mean, get lost.
What's that mean? Okay, what's that mean?
But I was like, look, I mean, I'd like to be, I'll talk to any of my constituents. And I said, you won't get any special favors.
Okay, they don't like that.
If you give me, well, at first, I looked around the room and the jaws dropped. Like there was like a, did he just really say that? But you know what? I think in the end, then they like kind of respected it because they couldn't believe that was my answer and because that's not what anybody had ever said to them. Mm-hmm. Right? And then they were like, I don't even know if they believe me, but like I do think they were almost, there was almost like respect, like, dude, you're going to come in here and tell me.
Apparently you haven't met Matt Jones.
Yeah. Because
before.
Again, I'm not. For better or worse, you can't tell me what to do.
No.
And that includes if you write a check for however many dollars.
I think the truer statement for this entire podcast is that if you do this, you might have to fight both establishments, the Democrats and the Republicans to get the seat.
Let me ask you this before you go. You're my friend.
Yeah.
Do you think I should do it? That's not – I don't really care about that so much. Do you, like, worry about me?
I worry about you a lot, and I want you to be happy. I want what's best for you. But I also, if you do the process, I don't want it to be so – I don't want my friend for the next year and a half to be
– miserable.
So miserable. I want you to be – like we talked about the other day, I wanted you to be like the quarterback for the UK U of L game.
Stephen Johnson. You like that he said, I love this.
That video was, I was on the other side of that, obviously, as a Louisville fan, but I love that as a football guy, that he stood at the line, and he looked around and said, with a smile on his face and 65,000 people screaming on top of him on the road, and he says, I love this blank. And I said, if you could do that, Matt, and go into it going, hey, let's go lose to McConnell. You know, like, hey, everybody, come on. Let's go lose to McConnell. And you go have fun with it because I think that once you get in front of people, I think people, they don't get what you bring. And I think you love Kentucky so much. And I think there hasn't been a politician in this state that has connected with out in the state, not Lexington and Louisville, that we haven't had that in forever.
Yeah, and as the last person was probably Wendell Ford.
Right, you know, that really connected with the mountains and really connected with people that had been dis. I just think I want you to be happy. And I don't want you to be miserable for a year and a half because you have a fantastic life. You finally found the one, I think, the girl, and she's doing fantastic. And your relationship is great. There's the businesses on the sports side are doing better than ever. So I want you to run selfishly because – I think you could win, and I think it'll be better for the state. I'm tired of living in the state that is last in all the good stuff and first in all the bad stuff. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of lag. We're behind Indiana and Tennessee, and hell, a lot of times we're behind West Virginia in some stuff. How can that possibly be possible? So I want you to be happy.
Just look at that shot at West Virginia. Just out of nowhere. They didn't even do anything to you, and you still just come in and throw a – no, listen, I appreciate you saying that.
I love you dearly.
Look, here's
I want
the thing.
You to be
for
happy.
Better or worse, like I was talking to the people I've been talking to about this nationally, and I said I was going to do this podcast, and they were all like, no, why are you doing that? Why would you talk about it? Like, shut up. Don't say anything.
Right.
And I'm like, but I can't not do that. Here's the thing. I have talked about, and I wanted to do this to sort of talk about my struggles on it. The struggle about me deciding in this is I know I'm going to have regrets either way. Whatever I decide, I'm going to have regrets. If I don't run, I'm always going to wonder if I could have won. Mm-hmm. If I do run, I'm always going to wonder what would have happened with my sports career. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I have a gig with ESPN. Mm-hmm. That'll go away. And it probably will never come back. Mm-hmm. And, like, I've been moving up in that, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, so no matter what, I'm going to have regrets. But I will say this. If I do it, it's game on. Like, I'm not doing it to lose. Now, if I lose, I lose. But if I do it, it's game on. And the same vigor that I attacked the blog, the radio show, the TV show, the restaurant, I'm doing the same thing with this. Like, I'm not doing it to come, and I'm going to enjoy it. I've enjoyed every single thing we've done. Mm-hmm. You know, I love offending, though, and I don't mean offending like being, like, risque. I love offending people who need to be offended.
Yeah.
I loved offending Tom Jurich and Jim Ramsey. Why? Because they needed to be,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I love offending the old mainstream media because they needed to be.
Yeah.
So if I do it, I'm going to be – and I'm going to have fun. And guess what? I'm going to drive the people crazy nationally because I'm going to keep doing this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to keep being myself. We're going to, like, keep doing the radio show. Now, I don't know if it'll be able to be on the air. We'll find out. Maybe it's just podcasts. But we're going to keep doing it because why not? Like, what if somebody ran and they remained an actual human being yeah. while they did it? Wouldn't that be weird? Well, let's see what happens. So – in 2 weeks, I might come out and say, look, I'm not doing it. And I hope people will understand. I'm going to disappoint a lot of people if I do that. Because by me being public about this, there's a lot of people who are, like, heavily invested in me doing it. And they're going to be disappointed. So.
Well, I know one way you can win. Just get Calipari to endorse you and you're fine.
Let me tell you something. Calipari, UK would not allow this to endorse me.
It would be a shoe-in win, though,
yeah.
if Cal said, that's my boy.
UK
it's over. The race is over.
But I will say this. He's interested. Like, he's always – like, he's interested. He wants to know.
He
finds this theme. Here's what I think. I think he thinks – he hasn't said this to me, but this is me channeling Cal.
Yes.
I think Cal thinks, you know, if Matt ran and won, well, then I sure as hell would have won. That's what I think. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it. And thank you, folks, very much for listening. Win or lose, we're going to do some more of these. I don't know when. But this has been the Matt Jones Podcast. We'll see you later. Hey! Send lawyers, kinds of money.